This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
We'll get you some Broncos training camp updates. Any injuries to be concerned about? A skirmish. Michael, skirmish time. Training camp is basically just who's hurt or hope they're okay. So we'll get to that. Football is on tonight. We got the Hall of Fame game, preseason action. The latest on, I did get an interesting note on the Brock Wisney story. I want to talk about this Brock Wisney ongoing case. Kevin Lytle will join me to talk some Colorado State as they started fall camp this week. We'll get to top stories. The Nuggets made a move today. And ESPN has an interesting article. Future Hall of Famers on the Broncos roster. We'll talk about it. We got the clip of the day, an update on the Wyoming punter story. The whole show starts right now. Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado, keeping the mosquitoes away from your yard so you can hang out. Mike, we're going to get back into the heat, it sounds like, here the next couple of days. Got to love summer, but we're getting close, man. Went outside this morning, and you do feel, a crispness in the air, and I'm here for it. That also means we have football. We have football tonight, Carolina and Arizona. Will you be? I know you don't have. I don't think you have NBC, but Peacock, is it going to be on Peacock? If available to you, are you interested in this game? I got to tell you, Mike, I have some interest. I'll have it on in the background, I guess. I'm not going to be watching this like play for play, though. I'll tell you that.
I do have some interest. I don't know if I'll be able to watch.
Good luck. Hope you can. Hope
everybody's
can.
Right. It's kind of a useless game.
I mean, this is all
you're
about
right.
Surviving.
It should be the Hall of Fame game should be the very first game of the year.
Or something in the regular season. Training camp and the preseason are basically this, Mike, from what I've learned. And I know, we're not one of the shows that's going to give you daily coverage out on site. We can, and I'm going to go out once or twice to CSU and UNC. I'm probably not going to make my way down to Denver. We're not going to be that show that's just constantly going over how a guy looks in practice, because it, Michael, I got to tell you, man, I've been a Broncos fan for a long, long time, and I've been excited about training camp for a long, long time, and I just don't have the drive in me anymore to talk about a guy going over the middle in shorts, and Bo Nix hits him deep, and Patrick Surtain makes a huge breakup. It's practice. Training camp is just practice, and yes, you can get a lot of useful information from it. And it's necessary to have it, of course, but we're still going to continue on covering and talking about the topics surrounding the sports world. But training camp is basically get your body ready, don't get hurt. That I mean, I know they're installing things and stuff that they've done throughout the offseason, but for a team like the Broncos, Mike, this is just kind of going through it. Not saying they're going through the motions or anything, and I couldn't tell you if that's the case, but they have so many returning guys. I mean, essentially, other than picking up Jalen Waddle, they're kind of running it back, and you have some rookies on there that they're expecting some big things from, like Jonah Coleman. It's important for them, but for the most part, bringing back this group offensively and defensively, you have to feel like you're ahead, or you're certainly not behind. So I would say the most important thing that we can get from training camp and the preseason is for the Broncos to simply stay healthy. And we already had a couple of updates, you know, on the injury thing. I don't even want to say injury. Like, Courtland Sutton didn't practice yesterday. Maybe it was a rest day, but I believe he's back out there now. Jaylen Waddle had some muscle tightness yesterday. Sean Payton at first said it was fine, and then today he said, I think he's fine. Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, I can't do this to that extent. Make 3 hours of the whole show just, Sean Payton said he thinks he's fine. What does that mean? Also, guys that didn't practice, Luke Wattenberg, Caleb Lohner didn't practice. The tight end, the giant tight end that can jump out of the base, basically the basketball player. You think? I'm curious to see if we actually are going to see this guy. Sean talks highly of him. He talked highly of another guy too, Michael, and you're going to love this clip. This is a guy, and I actually keep saying, I have this feeling this dude is going to be a significant part of the Broncos in that running back room, even in his rookie season. Here's Sean Payton talking about Jonah Coleman.
Still early, but has there been a pleasant surprise for you?
Fair question. Look, I think the young runner, you don't feel a rookie with Jonah. I mean, when he's playing, it's been harder with some of the linemen because we haven't been in pads, in fairness to them. And then a couple of these young linebackers are, you know, we're getting to see them move around, make the calls. You know, there's a lot to that position, and a lot of it's key and diagnosed, you know. And that's been good.
It took him a while to get to that, right? He was sitting there thinking. He was thinking hard about that as far as anybody that's kind of standing out in training camp. He brings up, he singles out Jonah Coleman. I mean, I still don't know that he moves up the depth chart to replace R.J. Harvey as the second back because they can do so many different things with R.J. Harvey. I mean, he wasn't like the straight-up traditional seeing the, you know, having running back vision kind of guy last year. He didn't seem to have that. We'll see if year two is different for RJ. But they definitely use him and throw the ball to him out of the backfield. So it'd be hard for Jonah, I think, to leapfrog him. But I would imagine to give J.K. Dobbins proper breaks, they're going to find ways to utilize Jonah Coleman. But probably similar workload that R.J. Harvey got last year, if not a little more. Again, this goes to the Davis Webb stuff. What is that offensive game plan like? I am really interested to see how that one's going to go down, Mike. Because Sean Payton's already saying, he's already kind of setting us up for a, yeah, it's not really all Davis Webb. I keep reading all these different stories about, is Davis Webb going to unlock this player? Is Davis Webb going to unlock this player? Michael, Sean Payton said 2 days ago that he would be giving mandates to Davis Webb on certain play calls and what to do. So it's going to be a lot of Davis probably early calling plays, getting into the feel of a game. But as a game gets a little more intense, that's where I'll be really paying attention. Sean Payton's going to have the playbook with him. Obviously, he's going to have his headset on. Obviously, he's going to be reading through stuff. They're going to be communicating. I don't know. That seems like a lot. So, based on Sean Payton saying things like, yeah, I'm going to mandate things. First play, is Sean talking to Davis Webb? Hey, I really like this. Just a suggestion. I really like this. I like this. I like this. And then Davis is going to pick one of those and then relay that to Bo Nix. I worried about this, and I keep making this comparison because it is similar to what we were experiencing up here with Colorado State last year. You know, Jay Norvell let a certain reporter know that, hey, I think play calling duties might go to Matt Mummy. And then that story went out. I believe it was our guy Justin Michael, friend of ours, DNVR Rams, put that story out. And then it kind of just vanished. And it went to, no, I'm not, maybe not really. And then Jay Norvell ends up calling the plays anyway. As the season got worse, he did make a call. He did make a change. And he gave, air quotes, he gave Matt Mummy control of the offense. but he still had a gigantic playbook in front of his face. He was still, as they were preparing for the next play, it sure looked like Jay Norvell was still calling the plays. Even though Mummy had a playbook and he had a headset, it was maybe a mixed bag. And I worry about those kind of things, college level, pro level, too many different voices. And Michael, how much pressure is there really going to be on Davis Webb? If the offense is stagnant like it was last year in the first half of a game, is there a time where Sean says, "Give, I'm taking control back for the second half, and then we'll reconvene and figure it out"? That is not a sneaky storyline. That is definitely a big storyline that will surround the Broncos, no question about it, all season. So something to pay attention to. So that's why I think it's funny seeing some of these articles, like, is Davis Webb going to unlock this player? Is Davis Webb going to unlock this player? I just don't know how much control he really is going to have. And we may not really know that throughout the course of the season even. If both guys are going to have playbooks in front of them and both guys are going to be kind of going back and forth on ideas, you just hope it doesn't take too long. So you can get the play call into Bo Nix and he can relay that to the offense. We'll see. That's definitely an interesting one. There was a, you know, Sean didn't say, he said Jonah Coleman. He's talking about Jonah Coleman kind of standing out. Everything I read and see on video is Riley Moss. Riley Moss, I guess, is having a really good camp. He's been all over Courtland Sutton, covering him. Now, they're calling Courtland Sutton right now wide receiver one. Just FYI, they're calling him wide receiver one. I don't know how much that matters, but it sounds like Riley Moss has won a bunch of those battles. Hufanga, the safety, Talanoa Hufanga for the Broncos, said Moss is a very athletic human being. A lot of people kind of discredit it because of the white corner thing. I'm not going to say that, but that's just what everybody else does. But he's probably actually one of the most athletic corners I've ever been around. Quick twitch, and now it's really just, what can we do to get his technique to where it's at? And Riley Moss is in a contract year, Michael. And the Broncos are in a good spot with that, though. Because if Moss is great, you have no problem just saying, let's give him what he's worth. And then you got two, potentially. I wouldn't call Riley Moss a shutdown corner. To be fair, I don't know that... I wouldn't call him a shutdown corner. I call him a good corner.
Shutdown. I wouldn't call him a shutdown corner yet.
No. Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Patrick Surtain is a shutdown corner. Riley Moss is just a good corner. There is a difference.
Well, I mean, if he were a shutdown corner, he would be the other shutdown corner. Because we know who's the more talented.
I've always liked a defense that builds their D around the four pillars, Michael. Two shutdown corners and two pretty good edge rushers. The Broncos had that when they won the Super Bowl. They had Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. They had Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. That combo, to me, can win a lot of football games. Because when you have two shutdown corners that are taking typically, wide receiver one and wide receiver two out of a game, and you don't have to worry about them as much. Now, again, that can hurt when you have a dynamic tight end. But when you take those two receivers out of the game, it does allow you to get really creative if you have significant pass rushers, and that's what the Broncos had in 2015. That no-fly defense kind of started with the defensive backfield, the cornerbacks, the secondary, and then it kind of moved up and allowed for guys to just make plays. I mean, that defensive line benefited greatly from the play of the secondary, and that sounds like where Denver is again. All these years later, they rebuilt this thing. Patrick Surtain, maybe the best corner in the game. Riley Moss has got to be considered. It depends on who you ask. But he might be considered a top 10 guy. He might be considered more top 15. Still very good. Your safeties, you love. Hufanga just couldn't hold on to interceptions last year. But outside of that, was ridiculous. Brandon Jones, solid. And then going after the football is Nick Bonito, which it sounds like he's good to go. No worries there. Nick Bonito, and we'll see more of just kind of how this looks with Jonathan Cooper. When we had Benjamin Albright on last week, and we will have him on tomorrow, he made it sound like the Broncos have a lot more information than we do on Jonathan Cooper, and that Benjamin even said, I don't have the quote in front of me, but he even said, it sounds like more of a just a couple fighting. It got physical. It wasn't good, but maybe not as bad as some of the initial reports indicated. That's still yet to be determined, but Benjamin sure made it sound like the Broncos knew, they had more information than what the public has at this point.
I feel like fights are going to happen in between, especially later on. So I'm surprised a fight happened just now.
Oh, no, no. I'm talking about Jonathan Cooper.
Oh, okay.
Jonathan Cooper. The fight with his girlfriend.
Oh, okay. That's like that.
No. Jonathan Cooper's not dusting it up with anybody. It was Evan Engram and Jaquan McMillan. What I'm talking about is the impact that if you have the four pillars, which we, in a perfect world, it would be Nick Bonitto and Jonathan Cooper, but what his future looks like with this team is still somewhat up in the air. People were very passionate about Troy Rank, included in this from the Denver Post, passionate about the Broncos separating themselves from Jonathan Cooper in camp. Talking to Benjamin Albright last week, host of Broncos Country Tonight, he made it sound like there's more information out there we don't have, which gives the Broncos more confidence and more peace of mind when it comes to keeping Cooper at training camp.
Yeah. Personally, I don't care who the person is, unless maybe it's your starting quarterback, but like, you normally have to separate that person no matter what.
Unless
you normally
you have
to put that person in a box over here.
Unless you have but information, which they seem to have.
If they know something that we don't and it looks better than not for him,
yeah,
then
I think
you
my,
still have to keep him a little on the sideline.
My tune has changed significantly after the conversation with Benjamin. And this is why we do what we do. We try to bring these different insiders on to help educate us. If we can't be out there on site, then we have people that are out there. So Benjamin, of course, enlightening us a bit on that. And if Cooper can't go, if worst case scenario, he is found guilty, are we looking at Jonah Ellis? I've been waiting for that guy to kind of break out. Q Robinson, what would he have for us? So that it's not a weakness, it's a question mark on this team. You said one of the things you were looking at was the middle linebacker spot, the Alex Singleton and Justin Cernette. I do think that's a question. I think that's definitely something to look at. Even though their defense has been one of the top defenses in the last 2 years, if they had a weakness, it was there. So that's one. And again, the other one is the Jonathan Cooper position, is the weak side linebacker position. Because you have an elite guy in Nick Bonitto, and you think Cooper's pretty damn good, and Bonitto obviously benefited from Cooper being pretty damn good. So that's certainly one that's kind of up in the air, and we'll see. As more information comes to us, 23 minutes after the hour, a quick Brock Wisney update coming up based off of my conversation with Coach Steve Smiley this morning on the Two-Man Game podcast. I'll get into that in a moment. Also, Kevin Lytle going to join us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And the Rams started their fall camp yesterday. Anything day one that sticks out to Kevin, we're going to be talking about it here on the whole show. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Let the fellas guide you to work every day. Your traffic updates and Good Morning NOCO, weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Shout out to Interior Sprinkler Systems for fire suppression and safety. They're going to be the ones to call. Check them out online at interiorsprinkler.com. And thanks to Interior Sprinkler, Interior Sprinkler Systems, we're going to be live and on location on August 28th for the first ever game under the lights at Nottingham Field. The lights are up. They look great. It does kind of make For some reason, the lights being up makes the stadium look even smaller. though. I just say that. It just kind of looks that way. But it'll be dark, so whatever. It looks cool. Looks very good. And Coach Lamb said it's these are top-notch lights, man. That's crazy in 2026 we're talking about UNC finally getting lights. It is crazy. But the fact is they got them. So, you know,
aren't
what?
They the last Division I school to get lights?
I think so. Certainly in their conference. Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah. It's just Ed Lamb is trying to, I think, reshape how college football is viewed in Greeley, Colorado.
Hasn't been viewed well for a very long time.
Well, they've been bad, but it's also like, what is it, the chicken or the egg? They've been bad, but there's not really a lot of dollars going into the program. I mean, they just now got a better weight room. Mike, I went to that to their old weight room, and like it's tiny. You can't fit a lot of people in there. And they got this new one up a couple of years ago, but they're kind of behind the eight ball on that too. But they're starting to. And that's the point. They're starting to. And I think Ed Lamb does. And I think you even have a clip airing on the station, a part of our podcast with him saying, you know, it's his job to illustrate to the powers that be just the things that they will need going forward to try to be competitive. It's crazy that you need a coach to come in and say that and present that to an athletic director. But that's kind of where we are. It's not a knock on Darren Dunn. It's just, it is interesting that it takes kind of an Ed Lamb figure to come here. Like, where are the lights? Why do we not have lights? Lights should have been up 20 years ago.
I mean, Ed Lamb has worked in bigger schools before, so he knows kind of what they need. And this is a difficult
that's an obvious one.
Situation.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough
He's trying to revive a program whose two winning seasons in the last 20 years have been 6-5.
Yeah, the two winning seasons haven't been necessarily great. So,
they
have a rough history.
Seasons.
Yeah.
But, like, he's slowly building this thing. I still say he has 7 wins this year.
Okay. You said 6 the other day, and now you're 7. You keep going back and forth.
Well,
By the way, can I pull back the curtain here? Coach, it's not like a good thing. You shouted at him and gave him your prediction. And he's like,
motivation.
You said 7-5.
Motivation.
And coach is like, wow, thanks, man.
It's motivation. You know what he's doing?
They're gonna put 7-5.
We're only gonna win 7 games on the bulletin board, and all the players are going, What is this? So they're gonna win every game. And when they do, it's all on me, and I deserve a ring.
No, I don't think so. CSU Talk coming up next with the one and only, we call him the Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he's going to join us in just a moment. But first, we'll jump out real quick and get the latest on our local new Sports Flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 35 minutes after the hour. It's good that you got that rejoin in from Brock, too, because Brock's name is certainly being talked about nationwide with this 5-for-5 case that he's involved in. Certainly a big one. Kevin Lytle joining us right now from the Coloradoan. The Rams started up their fall practices or fall camp yesterday. Kevin? Well, we got a new contract with Adidas. I'm sure we're going to talk about some players. You know, you caught up with Jim Mora as well. But, you know, what stood out to you yesterday, my friend? What do you know at this stage?
Football.
It's pretty much it.
Yeah. You know, it's nice that it's back. You know, it is funny. Obviously, it's not the most important thing. But the Adidas thing is really the first thing you notice because obviously the three stripe stands out and new practice uniforms and cleats and all that jazz. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Obviously day one, it's really early. We don't know what everything's going to be, but I think the thing we did see is that since there wasn't a spring transfer portal, you get the same group now as you had in the spring, you know, other than a couple late GAC transfers. But that allowed CSU, you know, with this new staff and all these new players, to basically lay the foundation, and now you can build off of that, you know, as you start preseason here, as opposed to when you had a, you know, second spring portal period and you added 20 more players and had to restart in some ways. So I think we could see that, of they had sort of set a baseline and were, you know, starting from that point, as opposed to day one of spring, where it was very much like, you know, Jim Moore even said it somewhat jokingly, but not fully, of, you know, spring started with, here's a football. Here's how you go forward. You know, obviously a little bit tongue in cheek, but that's where spring was. And now obviously they're advanced past that for preseason here.
Kevin, what is your sense from Jim Mora? Obviously coaches are going to say the right things. They're going to say, we want to win. We want to do it immediately. We're not rebuilding. We got transfer portal now. But what does your gut tell you, kind of listening to Jim Mora? Because sometimes you can talk to coaches and they talk about their players and they'll say, well, you know, these guys are really raw. They're really athletic, though, and they're working hard. And you can read between the lines and say, ooh, he's not that confident in their actual play on the field or court. But from what you've kind of sensed from Jim Mora, what would you guess his realistic expectations are, his view of this team are?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I've been able to pick up a sense of that yet, because, yeah, I'm trying to do that, want to do that, to see what those hints in what he says are. But what I think I do know is he is very intense, has very high demands, and I don't think he is going to look at a season, no matter what the situation is, and be like, yo, it's a rebuild, like, it's okay, we're building for the future. I don't think that's in his, you know, mindset capability, really. That's just not how he can operate. So I think kind of no matter what the roster looks like, he is going to have a mindset of he expects success. You know, that doesn't mean, you know, that's national championship or bust, but I think he's pretty bound and determined that if he takes the field, he expects to be able to win.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And we're less than a month away when the Rams kick off their season, their first season in the Pac-12 against an old friend in the Mountain West in the Wyoming Cowboys. That one's going to be huge. I'm very pumped about it. But as far as, you know, guys on this roster, day one again, they only allow you to see so much out there, Kevin. I'm hoping to get out there with you next week and pick your brain. But anything stand out to you? Hot, nasty, speed alert, anything like that?
Yeah, you know, again, since it's the same group as spring, mostly it's kind of the same guys. You know, Hosseini's very athletic and quick at quarterback, but he's definitely battling Kasan Farrar, who has, you know, some similar skill set, but a little bit different as well. You know, Mel Brown, I still like Mel Brown. Darrell Robinson's out in the field. You know, he looks like a good back. Umar Diamande, I think definitely very good on defense. Caleb Presley, you know, has impressed me some at cornerback. Again, it's really early, but yeah, you know, those are a few guys. I think maybe a broad one rather than a specific player is this team is really, I think they have good size and depth at the D line. I think they have the big fellas in the middle that you need. That jumped out to me yesterday. I'm kind of looking around. I'm like, well, there are a lot of these guys rather than a lot of years. There's like a couple. I think they have a good amount.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like, and again, you've mentioned those names quite a few times just over the last few months, just in your research or studying of these guys. And then you see them out there on the field, at least for day one. It seems like it's kind of checking out. The quarterback battle, as you brought up, you know, Hosseini, Kasan Farrar, like that battle, it does seem like it's a real battle. You know, at first, when I saw Hosseini, when I saw that news, it was like, oh, there you go. There's your starting quarterback. But, you know, you've told us kind of the last few weeks, and especially now, that there's a legitimate quarterback competition going on.
Yeah, I think so. I think it definitely is. I don't, you know, to be honest, we didn't even directly ask Jim Moore about it yesterday after day one, because he made it pretty clear in spring that he doesn't anticipate naming a quarterback early. And, you know, I think that's what it looks like. And, you know, from the, you know, we know how coaches are. I obviously, you know, us as media members and wanting to share news with the public would prefer that early and obvious. But from a coaching standpoint, you can see why he's saying, yeah, why on earth will I tell Wyoming who my quarterback is? So I won't be surprised if that one runs for quite a long time.
So I'll be just be ready then. I'll be asking you literally every week, and you'll have to kind of give me the same kind of answer, right?
Yeah, you and everyone else in line. It's going to be really interesting. I asked Price Tracy today, the OC. Not like who's your quarterback, because again, it's pretty clear that they're not sharing that or not decided yet. But just philosophies, and it's just interesting. Price Tracy talks a lot, like. One, against close to the vest, so if he's not going to share the X's and O's of what the offense is going to be. But a lot of it is, kind of the mentality mindset side of the game as much as it is pure execution of the game as well. So it's kind of interesting to see what it is that they're picking up on as the key things to kind of make some of these decisions. It's not just at quarterback. Obviously, that's the most obvious, position battle, but there are obviously a lot of other guys fighting for spots as well. So it's interesting to see kind of what this staff leans on as their center pieces for success.
I got a couple of texts coming in, and I'll get to those in a moment, Kevin. But as far as like Jim Mora and what you've learned about his time at UConn, UCLA, even the NFL, what would you say his thing is? You can look at you look at like Jay Sovell. And Wyoming. Okay, defensive-minded guy. He's all about that defense. They stud, he just kind of carries on the linebacker stuff. Coach Prime, I think his thing is he can recruit because he's popular. I don't think he has like an X's and O's thing. What is that about Jim Mora, at least based on what you know about him today?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think I wrote it sort of a self-debate of, what's this team's identity going to be as far as, exactly that. When Jay Norvell came in, it was clear they wanted to be an air raid team. Obviously, we all know that changed, blah, blah, blah. But that was his identity then. But I think Mora's molds based on, he's talked about this, of you have to mold and shift based on your roster rather than being rigid. And I think that makes sense in this era. Obviously, he's a defensive guy. He was a DC before he's a head coach and has a long history there. But he's also talked a lot about having dynamic offenses. He certainly had that at UConn last year. So it seems like he's malleable to, hey, what's my roster best at? And we're going to work around that.
Kevin Lytle joining us. Got the text here from third best tailgater here. Let's pretend it's August 6th, 2029. So let's get in the time machine, Kevin. What are the key themes to look back on for the first 3 years of the Mora coaching time at CSU? So basically asking you to kind of predict in 3 years, What do you think this thing's going to look like?
Better be winning. I mean, that's the super obvious, blunt thing to say, but they're paying a lot of money, investing a lot in this program too. And that's why, kind of why I say when you asked earlier about, the vibe on the roster, no one is doing this as a planned, long rebuild, because that doesn't exist in college football anymore. I think in 3 years, CSU would be hoping that they are part of conversations for the next round of moving up in the college sports world, whether that's the Pac-12, has become a force and is sort of becoming a Power Five again, or, if the other leagues are looking to add, Colorado State being in that conversation, that's where they want to be. There's going to be another round of stuff in the kind of 2030, 31 range, because that's when a lot of TV deals come up. So in 3 years, CSU wants to be well-positioned to be in those conversations, whether it's individually or collectively as, the Pac-12 group.
Yeah, and that's great. I mean, because in 3 years, who knows? In 3 years, we're going to have a good enough sample size, and that's a good text, third best tailgater here. In 3 years, we're going to have a good sample size of what the Pac-12 is. If they are really competitive, teams that they're, I'm guessing they're going to have teams in the playoffs, what those games look like, and obviously, the team at the front, more often than not, would be the one, to be considered a favorite to go anywhere else if the Pac-12 has not, landed themselves back into a power conference conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is an important time to succeed and position yourself because, again, we'll see what these, Safe College Sports Act and all these various things do, but it still seems like even if that passes through the way it's written, there's still wiggle room for realignment growth in a couple of years. And I think it would be naive to think that you know, that won't happen.
Kevin, always appreciate you, my man. Hey, we're going to fire this up, and I know you're down for it, but we're going to be doing our weekly questions that I put out that we can throw out on the socials and all that in your game for it, I believe, right, Kevin? Yeah, we're doing this on the air.
I mean, nothing like peer pressure on the air, but golly, what answer can I get? But yeah, absolutely, a lot of fun, and yeah, we can't wait for Rams Weekly. Like,
yes,
pretty
sir.
Soon here,
yep.
Everything's going to be firing. It's pretty exciting.
My life will be complete again, Kevin. I have to admit,
I know.
Seeing you here at the station every Thursday, we awkwardly watch you get out of your car and walk up to the door, and you're uncomfortable.
I need theme music.
And you
music
do.
Would be great.
Theme music would be great.
Hint.
But we feel complete once you're, because you're like a part of, you're basically a part of the staff at this point, Kevin. Not paid, of course, but a part of the staff nonetheless. And we're ready.
Paid in spirit, you know.
In spirits sometimes too, my man. Kevin, always appreciate it, man. We are looking forward to it. I'll shoot you a text here soon and we'll get that all straightened out because I can't wait, man. And Rams Weekly, burning questions for Kevin Lyle, all that coming up, and we love it.
Absolutely. Looking forward to everything coming in the next few months.
Thanks, Kevin. Talk to you soon, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. He is kind of like part of the family here. You know, he's here once a week. We do Rams Weekly Live here, and we after the show, we typically go hang out somewhere, and we talk shop, stuff that we can't say off the air, that I get different kind of information. Because Kevin's in the know, Mike. He can only give us so much, but he's in the know of all things Colorado State. That's a good text from third best tailgater here, by the way. Why not first best tailgater? You know, why not strive for greatness?
Well,
TBTH.
I mean, there are a couple really good tailgaters at Broncos Field at Mile High.
What are we doing?
So he could be
Stop.
The third best.
What did I tell you? That had nothing to do with Broncos. That had literally nothing to do with Broncos. Nothing to do
it
with
had
the Broncos.
Something to do with tailgating. They tailgate at
He's
stadiums.
He's talking about
He's
tailgating
probably number three
at
because there
CSU.
Are two better than him down in Denver.
He's talking about, why? Go to Denver. You know what? Pack your bags. He's talking about tailgating at CSU, Michael. Pack your bags. Go
so
to Denver.
He would be the first at CSU.
Well, that's
or
what
is
I'm
he
saying.
The third best at CSU?
That's what he's saying. He's the third best tailgater here. At some point, I'm sure. I'd like to know how that nickname came about, by the way. But that's a good text. What's this thing going to look like in 3 years? What's CSU going to look like in 3 years? What's the Conference of Champions going to look like in 3 years? You know, odds are they're not going to be a power conference. But I am interested to see them try. That's going to be fun. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. Top stories of the day presented by Aloe Fiber. We use them here at KFKA and couldn't be happier. Also, some updates on the Nuggets. I will hit the Brock Wisney story, too. Just the update, the things I know. Future Hall of Famers on the Broncos. More than Patrick Surtain? We'll talk about it. Keep it here on the whole show. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Two teams, no parades.
No! No!
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for the latest.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. I want to thank Big City Roadhouse for being a wonderful sponsor of ours. Man, I love working with Big City Roadhouse and some cool ideas that we've got, we're cooking on. But they just keep, man, the crew over there, Don and Cleta, the owners, do me a favor. When you go to Big City, ask if they're there. And just say hello. They work so hard to make this place awesome. Don's constantly adding different menu items. They've got the staple. They have the delicious food that people go back for, but that doesn't satisfy Don. Like, so he's constantly coming up with creative ideas. The guy is passionate about his job, and every time I go there, you see Cleta busting her butt working around there and just making this place great. It's a wonderful staff. Can't say enough about the culture that they've built in just a short time over at Big City Roadhouse. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. That has, you know, that again, the text on the, you know, what's this thing going to look like in 3 years? If you just had to predict, in 3 years, will the Pac-12 still be the Pac-12? Yes. They will have survived enough to be a conference. Will CSU be the front runner of the Pac-12 in 3 years? Will they be considered the leader in the clubhouse? And if there is a team worthy of making a jump, because that, Kevin said it, contracts, TV contracts are coming up in 2030 or so. And that's usually when realignment happens. And I don't know with the new Protect College Sports Act or whatever it's called, what that's going to do to prevent realignment and what the Pac-12 would be considered, because that's an interesting language there, Michael. Because one note I read was that Power Four teams can't jump from one conference to the next unless they are willing to take on some kind of penalty. So what would the Pac-12 be considered? They're not a power conference, and I don't see them becoming one in 3 years. Again, hopeful. I'll be watching. But if I'm predicting that, I would say no. Hard to say about CSU. We'll talk about more of that on the other side. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.